Okay, we are recording.
Okay, looks like 4:05 on May 20th. Calling the Parlin Ingersoll Public Library Board of Trustees meeting together. Do we have any public comments?
No, I do not see that anybody else has logged in. So.
Good one. Agenda items. Appointment of the library officers for fiscal year 21.
That's on agenda for meeting two. We need to be on agenda for meeting one.
Got it. It's only over here. Got a different page.
We're doing two this time. So.
Oh, okay. I put aside the program room one.
So we've got the minutes.
Yeah. Has everybody had a chance to read the minutes?
Yes.
Yes.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes of April 15th.
Second, anyone?
I'll second that.
Were there any comments or suggestions? Okay, call for the vote. All those approving the minutes, say aye.
Aye.
Let me do a roll call on that since it is virtual. Kim Fraley?
Aye.
Rhonda Vogel?
Aye.
Chris Layton?
Aye.
Laura Kessel?
Aye.
Keely Vollmer?
Aye.
And Kathy Ledlam?
Aye.
Okay, thank you.
Kim, would you like to go to the Freedom of Information Act next while we're all here?
Well, I think we'll need to wait until officers are officially approved.
Okay.
So I'll just go through communications real quick.
Okay.
First off, good news. We did get funding for our E-rate for the year 2020. We were awarded $3,459.36. This is our 80% coverage that we will get for our Comcast cable connection and for the new mid-century fiber connection that will start June 1. Our network consultant recommended we have redundancy, and they did approve both. I wanted to also mention, I did talk to Jennifer at the Fulton County Clerk's Office to see if the Canton EAV was available. And she felt that would be delayed another 4 to 6 weeks. So I will try to bring that up again at the June meeting. It would be a normal time that we would discuss that in relation to what our non-resident fee is for our users. So that will just be a little bit delayed. But that was all I had under communications.
Okay.
So we'd be on consent agenda.
Does anybody have any questions or comments on the consent agenda? Should we vote to accept them as presented?
So moved.
Thank you. Second?
I'll second the motion.
Okay. Another roll call vote.
Okay. Keely Vollmer.
Aye.
Laura Kessel. Laura, need an aye.
Sorry, aye.
Thank you. Chris Layton.
Aye.
Rhonda Vogel.
Aye.
Kim Fraley.
Aye.
And Kathy Ledlam.
Aye.
Okay. The next item that I had down were bids for the concrete work on the library parking lot. This is the first section that we talked about that would go from the base of the lot from the Locust Street end to Chestnut and east over to the library building, which would include the handicap spaces. And then as an addendum bid, we also went a little bit further contingent to that, going a little further to the west to include the area that has the storm sewers on it. So what we ended up having is And we probably should do these as two separate bids. The first is to accept the low bidder on the first phase, which was $67,823.99. The low bidder was Audubon and Company, and Bill Phillips said that they were a responsible bidder. So we were good on that. And then the second alternative bid for that extra portion that includes the storm drains came in at $17,304.87. So the contract total is for $85,128.86. Again, for the alternate bid, the low bid was also Audubon. Bill will be sending the contract over to me upon your approval. They will start as soon as possible, perhaps a little before June 1. We'll just see their timeline, but the work should be completed by August 3rd. And I would need probably two separate motions to approve the bid. First, the phase one bid, and then the additional bid. Bill was pleased with these bids. He said they came in under what they had expected. And you should have received this in a separate email. It was not in your board packet. So any questions on that? Okay. A motion to approve first phase bid in $67,823.99.
I'll make the motion for phase one.
Okay. Is there
I'll second that.
Okay.
Well, is there any discussion since circumstances have changed since we first thought of this?
Just to let people know, right now I have a login for Jana, so she is trying to connect. Jana, can you hear me yet? Can you hear me, Jana? You might have been muted. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, perfect. We are at the point in the meeting where I have just read off the two bids that we received from Phillips and Associates, and I have a motion and a second on accepting the bid from Audubon for phase one at $67,823.99. And Vice President Kathy Ludlam just asked if there was any discussion or comment.
Okay, thank you. I apologize for being late. Time got away from me.
No problem. Any questions from anyone?
Okay, it seems like we don't need further discussion. We'll call for the vote.
Okay.
I do have a question.
Okay.
How do you, Kim, anticipate the COVID-19 situation affecting the library financially?
At this point, I would say what I am seeing would be a drop in income as far as overdue income, copy machine income, computer print income. We've been closed six weeks in FY20, and now another 4 weeks in FY21. So I see that our revenues on the local level would be lower. I certainly expect it on the investment side. The Ingersoll Trust, again, closed in the $27 million mark in December, and it had dropped as low as being in the $20 million mark. The last I looked, it was in the 23s. So I would anticipate that we will have a little bit of a drop in disbursement on that. So that's where I see it at this point. In relation to this bid, right now we have about $130,000 in checking. So at this point, I could see that we could definitely cover the cost of this without perhaps needing to transfer money initially, perhaps in another month or two, take some money from our money market and transfer. But we do have enough to at least get this this job covered, I think. Does that answer your question, Chris?
Yes, it does, and I don't think that you would bring this for approval if you felt like the library was struggling to the point where that would be a concern. So I'm comfortable with that. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. And one of the reasons that Bill Phillips tagged on that additional piece of bid is because he looked at it and the drainage area is a concern. That's where water pools. And he actually said, you know, if we can get the bids in low enough to do this additional bid and we have to hold off on going any further, at least the two major portions of the parking lot that are in the worst shape would get done. So if there would have to be a pause in the 5-stage plan of getting these phases done, we've at least got, you know, the initial ones with the most need taken care of. So that would also be a possibility if we delayed other sections to the project.
Okay, so roll call vote on first phase, 67th and plus dollars for first phase of cement parking upgrade.
Okay, Jana Emmons.
Yes, aye.
Okay, Keely Vollmer.
Aye.
Laura Kessel.
Aye.
Chris Layton.
Aye.
Rhonda Vogel.
Aye.
Kim Fraley.
Aye.
Okay, and Kathy Ludlam.
Aye.
Okay, and then I would say, do we have a motion to accept the alternative bid one for $17,304.87?
I will make a motion for that section.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay, any discussion? Okay, roll call vote, Kathy Ludlam.
Yes, aye.
Kim Fraley.
Aye.
Rhonda Vogel.
Aye.
Chris Layton.
Aye.
Laura Kessel.
Aye.
Keely Vollmer.
Aye.
And Jana Emmons.
Aye.
Okay. I was going to say, I know Kim Fraley does have to leave a little bit early, but I think we would still have a quorum. So I think we can just go ahead with the items in the order that they appear. Well, my next item on the agenda here is about COVID-19 in the library. I had a pretty lengthy discussion on this on our action item memo. I will go through some of the things that have come up with this. It has been an ever-changing environment, to say the least. With the executive orders and recommendations, there has been a lot of varying opinions on what categories libraries fall in. Attorney Phil Lanzini initially said with the first order that he did not feel libraries should be interpreted as non-essential stores. He did not think that libraries should open under curbside service under the latest gubernatorial orders. He felt library workers were fine to be coming in and doing work to complete minimum necessary essential activities. Ansel Glink attorneys for Rails and the northern part of the state interpreted it as saying libraries are municipal and governmental, and the order allowed them to make their own determinations of when their governmental areas could open, meaning libraries. The Illinois Library Association recommended everyone remain closed during the stay-at-home order until provisions could be made for adequate PPE for staff to not deprive first responders until more data was available. That has still been a little bit up in the air as far as a determination on where libraries actually fit in. How long to quarantine library materials, that had started out being fairly consistent with the CDC and the Northeast Center for Document Conservation, all feeling that while it was highly unlikely that the virus would be transmitted from a paper product like cardboard or plastic to a human, they were pretty much all agreeing at 72 hours. However, there is a study being done right now by the Institute of Museum and Library Services, with OCLC and with Battelle Labs in Ohio examining live COVID-19 viruses. Their study, they are starting in May. They don't think they will have results until late August. But at this point, they recommended pushing quarantine back to 7 days. So at this point, most libraries that I have heard of are going ahead with the maximum protection and going with a 7-day quarantine. I mentioned and included in your packet Governor Pritzker's Restore Illinois plan with its 5 phases. At this point in time, according to his phases, we are in phase 2. He has said if things remain the same, it does look like we might progress to phase 3 by May 29th. In the meantime, there was a group of Central Illinois counties and mayors that got together and developed their own plan. It is called the Restore Heart of Illinois Plan. It has 3 stages, which overlaps some of the governor's plan. At this point in time, while the paper reported that Fulton County was included in that, they had not approved that plan. I did talk to Katie Lynn at the Fulton County Health Department and asked her about the Heart of Illinois plan. And I explained to her some of our initial plans on what we were going to do if we did do a limited opening, since we cannot do a curbside, which I'll get to in a minute. But she did recommend, and I also talked to Laura Kessel, our board member, who is also on the Fulton County Board of Health, recommending to stick with the plan by Governor Pritzker because the Heart of Illinois plan has really not been approved. So I think we're looking at where the state of Illinois Restore Illinois plan is at on that at this time. I kind of went through our initial plans for the library. We have we now have adequate supplies. We have adequate gloves was an issue in the beginning. We have our sneeze guards out. We talked about segregating checkouts and check-ins. We have talked about when we would open, we would have where we would enforce social distancing. We would limit people's visits to 1 hour or less. We would allow between 8 and 9 a.m. in the morning on Tuesdays for vulnerable populations. We would cordon off seating to allow 6 feet distances. We would have 5 of our 11 computers available for use. I did have a concern from staff wondering if the board felt comfortable requiring all patrons to wear a mask before entering the building. I think some of the staff would feel more comfortable if that was a requirement. Many libraries that I've heard of are requiring it. Some have felt as a public institution, we can't really require it if people can maintain social distancing. But I would feel that that might be a nice thing to require for those that are able to mask up, which would, you know, those that cannot would be those with a health issue that they could not, or children under the age of 2. We don't plan curbside service because of the parking lot construction. We cannot do curbside, in my opinion, on a public street. We don't have book drops to return items in due to the community-wide bed bug problem. We're not like a retail store in that we would be taking returns in at the same time we could be distributing new items. So for that reason, those many reasons, I don't think we could plan to do curbside, unlike some other libraries you might have heard in the paper, Peoria or Pekin. Some of the others are doing curbside. As an alternative to that, though, we'd like to promote a service that we would call-in carryout, where we would pull up to 10 items for people. We would check them out in advance, and people could come in and pick those up in the building, and that way they could limit their time and exposure around others. We've extended all items to not be due until July 1st. The only things right now that are definitely off the table at the first reopening would be interlibrary loans, as Rails Library System is not opening up its delivery service yet. And our outreach service is not available at this time. I'd like to consider reevaluating that after we've been open for a little bit. I think we could probably do that in a partial mode to deliver to those individuals that reside in their own residence. But I think we would probably want to avoid group homes at this time. We do have plans for summer reading. We're planning some virtual things. We're going to have a walk and read outside the building. We will have storybook pictures on posts that people can walk with their families outside the building and read a picture book. Tiffany Kaufman, our youth services librarian, has that planned, and she will change the picture book each week. She's taping herself doing crafts. We will have take-home crafts that students and children can pick up. We will have take-home activity kits in place of story times. Tiffany is also filming science experiments that can be shown. We had booked three large group performers. We're in contact with them. Some of them are trying to recreate their performances in a virtual manner. One company, Absolute Science, said that they would have their programs ready so that we could air them continuously June, July, and August. So we're hoping to have their virtual programs ready to go. Tentatively, we had hoped to have online registration for summer reading, either by email or a private Facebook message, to start on May 26th. We are then also looking at, after that, hopefully people can, when the building is open, register in-house or by the telephone. Tentatively, the program is scheduled for June 8th through July 17th. We'd be willing to push it back 1 week if we need to, otherwise we might shorten that program. I'd like to put a press release out on this. We have had a few calls because of seeing that other libraries are doing curbside, and I think the public needs to know our reasoning on why we are not. But we might put a press release out tomorrow or the next day with a tentative opening plan when the board decides how they feel about moving forward with opening. I had talked to Trigg earlier. He felt under phase three that he felt we could open in a limited partial mode where we would be doing the things that I just mentioned, separate, return lines, separate checkout lines. Other libraries are not at this point. I did not hear Governor Pritzker today because I was listening to another HR webinar on COVID-19. But yesterday in his discussion, he did imply that we might be ready to move to phase three on May 29th. He did say if he did so, he would be issuing a new executive order. And he said within that order, he would have more detail on specifics for particular types of businesses. Nobody has really said a whole lot about libraries. I think a lot of people don't realize how we are set up, how we work, and what types of issues we might have specifically. So on that point, I think it's still a little bit up in the air. But I didn't know how the board felt, if they would want to open on a limited basis June 1st, if we are in phase three, unless the governor specifically says something about libraries not being open, if you would rather delay, or what kind of metrics you feel. I found this is a difficult topic because everyone you approach for an opinion, no one really has a definitive answer on where libraries fit in. Everybody wants to be safe. I can tell you, I had some staff say that they really weren't comfortable doing curbside. And I had some staff say they were more comfortable doing curbside than doing face-to-face. I think sooner or later, I think we will have to approach this. If a vaccine isn't available for a year and a half or something, we'll need to do something. But I kind of wanted the board's opinion on the requiring of patrons to wear masks and how comfortable people felt as far as opening up. I wish Trigg was on here because he did express his opinion on phase three. I would just say, given the governor's comments yesterday, I would be curious what other details he might have when he does this next executive order and talks about more detail for businesses and who can open. When I looked ahead at the current plan, if we would go to phase four, things were listed like opening movie theaters with a larger group gathering. And I don't quite feel we fit into a movie theater venue because we aren't doing our group programs. One of my concerns would be just monitoring crowd capacity for the children's room I did email Bill Phillips about the square footage there. If we would go with the five people per 1,000 square foot, the building itself would allow 95 people, but the children's area would be more limited, where it might be limited to 15 or so. And I have talked to the summer reading staff and saying that might be part of their responsibilities this summer, is also to monitor the number of children in that area, if we would perhaps then, you know, watch at the door and wait till some families leave before we let more people in the children's area. I'm not as concerned about that on the adult side. I think they'll settle in, and if we limit their visits to an hour or less, I think on the adult side it will settle in, and then we are offering and promoting the call-in carryout service. But it is a big unknown, and I didn't know the board's feelings on it and their comfort level, and how we want to maybe make decisions going forward. A lot of the area libraries are doing curbside. Some have mentioned that maybe they might consider opening on a limited basis June 15th. Some have said they'd rather do curbside till September or October. I think everybody's comfort level and their library situation is different. So I toss that out to all of you if anybody has any comments. And Kim, if you need to bow out, I think we are still good with a quorum. So.
Okay, I do have to bow out. And if you don't mind, Kim, I would just like to say that whatever the board decides, I am completely comfortable with everybody's decision. You guys are, we have great minds. And when we work together, we always do what's best for the library. I would like to say that I personally believe that the masks are important for the comfort of your staff, Kim, but also just the comfort for the other people who may be coming into the library. I know that not everybody is comfortable wearing a mask, but I just feel like for peace of mind for your staff and then for the other patrons who may be around, I think a mask requirement is a good thing. That's just my opinion. Today, I am doing almost like a curbside at Ingersoll. We are all wearing masks. We're wearing gloves. We're going out to people's cars. We're getting the computers from the car and then giving them locker materials. I know curbside isn't an option for us right now, but it does help being able to wear the mask. It makes me feel more comfortable. I think it would make the staff. So. Anyway, sorry I took up that much time, but I am going to bow out, and that's just my opinion on that. But whatever you guys decide, I'm good with. Okay?
Thank you, Kim.
Thanks.
Thank you. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
See you.
Well, obviously, Kim has reinvented the library service in her thoughts. Yes, she really wants your opinions.
So my question would be, would we not have to also require the employees to wear masks? And would they be comfortable doing that for an entire day?
At this point, when I have asked, and I have had people in and out at various times, most staff are comfortable in the office area without public around, not being masked and keeping the 6-foot distance. I did have one employee who came in and had her mask on the entire time, and she was more comfortable with that. I have thought about if any staff member wants all the other staff to constantly have their mask on, that we would bring that up. Otherwise, if staff working in their office or at their desk wanted to remove it, as long as they kept 6-foot distance, I would be comfortable with that, but everyone should mask when they wait on the public. But if I would have one staff member say, you know, I'm uncomfortable, even though so-and-so is at their desk, they don't have their mask on, then I would feel that that might be something where we would have to address everyone staying masked the entire time. We did provide everyone with two cloth masks paid for by the library from Dyes Bridal. We gave a donation. They were wonderful. So everyone has been given two. If they would choose to wear masks of their own that they find more comfortable, that's fine as well. I do have the same thing with gloves. Some people felt doing certain duties, they would rather not wear their gloves. and just wash their hands. Before we would open to the public, I plan to have a staff training where I will review proper procedure for wearing gloves and removing gloves and masks, and reminding everyone to not touch their eyes, nose, and mouth, and to wash their hands before and after putting on gloves and other items. So, but that would be an issue, is how comfortable they are wearing their masks. But I think they would feel, the comment I heard from them was more concern about if the public didn't have a mask on. But I wanted to be cognizant of if they felt concern if their fellow worker didn't mask up as well. Good question.
Would we still have public restrooms?
At this point, yes. I was thinking we would have the restrooms open, but we might not require key entry. We would have them either propped open or taped in a way that they do not need a key. They could just push on the door to get in. Right now we have the east side doors open, and that's how we're receiving all deliveries. And I have spoken to our UPS delivery person and our postal carrier to say, you know, we're having parking lot construction. We will be leaving those east side doors open. Given the fact that public might be parking in our staff lot or on the street, I felt we should leave those doors open for the public as well if they cannot walk that far from the parking lot. If they have a disability, they can call us and we would return items to them, but I don't think we have the staffing to be able to do that on a regular basis for others. But those east side doors would be open and those restrooms would be open. Normally that could be a possible security threat for theft, but I think at this point it would be more than willing to try it and leave that open so that patrons have an option to come in either way. I would say I think staff are as ready as we can be. My concern is just who will make the determination if it's okay for a library to open to the public under what phase and when. Otherwise, I think we have a game plan. I think people will feel more comfortable on the staff once they do it for a while. But it is just when, you know, when can we? And I do not know if the governor's plan, if he gives more detail, if that will include libraries as a, you know, an example. I know the Heart of Illinois plan did, but I don't think that plan is going to be valid. I really feel we need to stick with the governor's plan, and the health department agreed on that. It will just be, are we good to go on June 1 for that plan or not? And I know at one point we talked about extensions being decided by the board president and myself. I don't know if people are comfortable with that. I don't know. I could call a special meeting at 48 hours notice if you wanted to make a determination after we get more detail on his executive order. We could extend, you know, to the 15th. We could extend to July 1, whatever people are comfortable with. It's difficult. It's very difficult. And it changes constantly. And that's why I'm expecting there could be yet another change with the executive order on phase 3 on how it's interpreted.
I don't know if it'd be interesting to anybody else, but one time you mentioned to me the fairness to the staffing, how you would alternate them in positions so somebody doesn't get stuck with returns all day or right. Something like that. You had some ideas on that idea.
We were, it's interesting. We will have to really staff the circulation desk with more people because of separating returns from checkouts. So there will be more time up on the desk by people. For cross-contamination reasons, anybody on returns would be gloved up and masked and just checking for bed bugs, and then everything's going in quarantine, but they could not then cross over and check out to someone. We feel all the materials in the building have basically been quarantined. They are safe, that the checkout stations would be okay, but we didn't want staff to cross back and forth. So somebody needs help at the copy machine, we would buzz somebody up that's not at those stations. If somebody needed to send a fax, we would buzz somebody else up at those stations. Again, hand washing and masking, among everything, just to try and separate that out. We've had times where we could staff the front desk with just one person, and right now we're looking at maybe having three people there at a minimum. It will be all hands on deck regardless. And that's why it's been helpful that we are open on a limited basis, not to the public, because we have been receiving materials. We have been cataloging materials. We've been doing payroll. Right now, Deanna and I are gathering information for the auditor. I'm getting everybody to have every single thing they can possible caught up, because when we open to the public, that will be what we'll be doing, taking phone calls, taking summer reading registrations, doing carry out. So we will try and separate that. I do have one or two people that might be concerned about the chemicals or have other conditions, and you're trying to be fair. They might be able to be on the checkout stage, which might be less risky perhaps. There's always a little bit of risk in everything we do. We'll try to accommodate as best we can, but we do serve the public, and that's why we have a lot of some people have some more free hours right now, is because of a bulk of their work hours and their work day are serving the public. Did that answer your question?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, how would you like to proceed? Separate votes, or just where you can use your best judgment?
Kathy, can I make some comments real quick?
Yes. Please.
I want to just preface this by saying we're probably on the extreme of being careful in my world, based on my house and my husband's work and my work. So take that into consideration when I say what I'm saying. I want to start with that regional plan. Fulton County really didn't have anything to do with that. Fulton County's metrics were included in that, but Fulton County did not approve that plan and did not sign off on that plan.
Right.
And essentially, the governor has come back and said, not approving those plans, and we will cut funds and licenses if people aren't abiding by the rules. So I think we need to be really careful about going against anything that might be, if libraries aren't specifically listed in whatever the next phases are, orders are, or whatever, I know that we have to kind of draw a conclusion as to where we fit, but I would err on the side of caution of not making them mad. Honestly, I worry about, I agree that people should wear masks, both patrons and employees, but are we going to require patrons to bring their own masks? I don't think we should have to provide them, but then if they don't, are we going to let them in or not? Are we going to have hand sanitizer out? When we talk about patrons being inside for up to an hour, I can't even imagine how many books or surfaces they could touch in that time. And what about extra cleaning precautions? I feel like if we're going to do anything, the call and carry out to me is the best way to go, and not having people wander around and touching everything. Because we can quarantine the books all we want, but if someone is sick and doesn't know it and touches everywhere in the library, anybody else that goes by can get it. So I just have some real concerns with us jumping ahead too much. And I realize the library is important and folks need access, but I don't know. I would really not want us to be a statistic of where something spread.
Okay, let me address some of those things. First of all, yes, I totally agree. I would be very reluctant to do anything that would be considered not in accordance with what the governor's plan is, for those reasons of possibly losing any funding in the future or any grant monies. We do plan to have hand sanitizer out. We always have had hand sanitizer out. We do plan to have that. Our maintenance man will be cleaning doorknobs and handles and tabletops and everything routinely once a day. Staff will be doing that throughout the day. Everyone using a computer, we're going to hand out an alcohol wipe so they can wipe off their keyboards and their mice. I understand the touching everything. We are having baskets set out that if anyone would pull a book off the shelf and decide not to take it, that they can put it in the basket and then we will quarantine it. But if that seems too risky, I am game whatever anybody looks at. I don't I don't know internally if we can change our plan more than that, but if we are not ready to open up with the plan at that stage, then, you know, I'm good with that too. I think it's the most difficult thing because we don't have any guidance, and I don't know if people can give us guidance. But if I knew phase three was okay, that would be fine. If the board prefers to go on the side of caution and revisit it at the June meeting and just stay closed as is until July 1, that's all right. I don't know if we could do enough phone in and have them come in the building to pick up their bags. If people are, you know, to just do the carry out service without browsing. Now, some libraries have talked about having no one come in their children's department or closing their stacks. I think some of that might be difficult to police, but these are different times. It's a very complex issue. So, all good points, Laura.
I'm a supporter of the masks wearing. I'm not okay. A big mask wearer myself, but I understand that it's not an act of me, but giving perception of other people that are safe. And if I'm infected and don't know it, it's perhaps protecting other people. So I think that's definitely a good move. What Laura said with regard to being sure that we can open under specific guidance, that would be the only time that I would feel confident or that I would say that we should, is if we're sure that we can. And I think you all may agree on that. I don't want to speak for you. As far as surfaces, I know there's a lot of information out there. I just read an article. The CDC is now saying that it's very unlikely that the virus could spread by touching surfaces. I don't know what to believe. There's so many pieces of information, but yet it's still a risk. So a very tough situation, of course, but what I feel is if you feel, Kim, and the employees feel comfortable with the current plan and that the governor is and the direction is that we can, as a library, open, we have to at some particular point in time, right? I mean, this thing could drag on for a long time. And is it June 1st or is it July 1st? I don't know, but I would be supportive if those three things are in place, meaning you're comfortable with opening in the plan that you put in place, proper PPE is provided, the employees are fine with it, and it's under the current governor's order.
Excellent. I'm a real rule follower too, so I don't want to jump the gun.
I agree too. It's better to be cautious and safe.
So do you want me to, I wish Trig was here, but do you want me to contact all of you? Do you want to just make an extension at this point and then see what further information the governor provides after hopefully we move into phase three and he has more information. Let's see, our next meeting would be June 17th. So.
These are special times. I suppose we could have a special meeting. If you thought things suddenly opened up June 5th, say, you could call us up and your 72 hours or whatever that was, notice.
Okay. Are people comfortable with that when we get more information on phase three and if the governor delineates it further, then I will call it, I think I need 48 hours notice to have a special meeting. How do people feel about that? I agree. I don't want to jeopardize any funding. We certainly don't want to do that at this time. And let alone all the safety issues, which of course are paramount. Does that sound good?
We will okay hold. With, I'm okay with allowing, I mean, you and Craig to make that decision. I mean, I will certainly attend a special meeting if need be, but I think that you have enough information as well as Trig that I am comfortable with saying that, you know, I'll go with whatever you guys decide, but either way.
Well, I can share with him. I know he was comfortable with phase three. I'm curious what more the governor's going to qualify with the executive order on phase three. So I can share that with him too, but if I don't want to cut anyone else out from being able to express their opinion as a board. How do the others feel?
I'm comfortable with you and Trig making that decision. If the governor says that we can open in phase three, I'm fine with that. I would require people to wear masks too.
Okay.
Yeah, and back on the mask, I think if we're going to require patrons to wear them, I think that the library staff needs to have them on as well.
Okay, even at their desk?
I do. I just think that if somebody comes in and they see somebody without a mask, I just think it opens up a can of worms.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, I would say, Kim, if you're in your office, no one can see you, and maybe even Deanna back there, but I mean, if there's somebody that's going to be get up walking around, I just think that it would be safer for them to have one on.
Okay.
We need to lead by example.
Right.
Okay, is everybody comfortable with Kim and Trig using their best judgment with the latest information?
Yes.
Yes.
I am. Mm-hmm.
Do we need a motion and a roll call on that? I'll be sure to mention to him everyone's concern about the governor's specifics for libraries on that.
You want a motion, Kim? I can make a motion.
Okay, thank you.
I can second that.
Okay. Let me get my sheet here.
Kim, okay. Just a question. Is your association like advocating to the governor's office that they need to be explicit about where the libraries fall into this?
I believe they actually have, and what we're getting are two different attorneys in the state making different opinions. And the one that would include the Chicago area uses Ansel Glink, and they have said, as a governmental institution, it would be up to each municipality to decide. Another attorney just interpreted and didn't feel curbside fit because libraries aren't stores, we're not essential or non-essential businesses, and where they fit in. The Illinois Library Association in the beginning did not recommend curbside, and then they backpedaled a little bit and just said, but they realize it's a local decision and it's up to your local government and area to make that decision. And yet then people trying to make that decision locally also are trying to abide by the governor's plan. So you're just getting a mixed opinion. I think every librarian will tell you we'd love it if somebody would just say how they determine what libraries fit in and where we are. And then the rest of us will just make our procedures on how to handle within our own building. But no, there really hasn't been a joint statement other than, you know, local jurisdiction, keep everyone safe, and the typical, you know, masking, social distancing, disinfecting, hand washing. So, okay, there is a motion to let Trig and I discuss this and make a decision. Motion by Jana and second by Laura. Roll call vote. Kathy?
Aye.
Rhonda?
Aye.
Chris?
Aye.
Laura?
Aye.
Keely?
Aye.
And Jana?
Aye.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate everyone's comments. Like I said, it is a a difficult decision and forever changing. The next item that I had on the agenda was the library annual report. This is something that we do every year. It is required by law. And when the board approves it, then I do send a copy to the mayor. And it does also go into parts of it go into the audit, although these are compiled with unaudited figures. Just briefly, it is a very unusual fiscal year. First of all, we shortened it by a month in order to have our fiscal year agree with the city. So it's an 11-month year. On top of that, it's a year that has 6 weeks less of business and transactions in there. So a lot of the figures are at new lows. But it is what it is. So does anybody have any questions on that? Usually we do get board approval then to accept it or with changes or corrections. But any questions on that? Okay, is there a motion to approve the annual report and send that on to the mayor?
Approval.
Okay, I'll take that as Chris moved and Keeley seconded it. Any other comments? Okay, roll call vote, Jana.
Aye.
Keeley?
Aye.
Laura?
Aye.
Chris?
Aye.
Rhonda?
Aye.
And Kathy?
Aye.
Thank you. The next item that I had was the Illinois Public Library annual report called the IPLAR. Again, this is something that's required by the state every year. I put it in your board packet in case anyone has any questions. It's also the document that is used when we do comparisons with other libraries. We can pull out metrics by size and budget and staffing. And it was actually something that you approved that I could go ahead and file last month, but I did get the data ready in case anyone wanted to look at it and had any questions. Does anybody have any questions on that? I do need Trigg to come in. He actually told me he'd come in after the board meeting today to sign. Keeley has already signed. They electronically sign and then it is submitted to the state. Any questions on that? So I'll assume it was approved. Okay. The next thing, just to let people know that Jana, Laura, and Kathy were approved in their seats for Library Board of Trustees by Mayor McDowell and the City Council. In the past, we've always had our board also then reaffirm the appointments of the mayor. So if anyone wants to make a motion to accept the approval from City Council.
I will make the motion to accept the.
Okay.
Of the trustee appointments.
Second.
Okay. I guess I can do a roll call vote. You'll all accept your own, right? Kathy?
Aye.
Rhonda?
Aye.
Chris?
Aye.
Laura?
Aye.
Keeley?
Aye.
And Jana?
Aye.
The next thing that I had was just I had put library taxation and the city budget on in case we did have anything come up, but I really have no further information on that. Normally then, May is always an unusual meeting because we're ending one fiscal year and then sometimes appointing new board members again. So at this point, we would adjourn the first meeting at 5 o'clock and then reconvene the second meeting.
Okay. I will make a motion to adjourn the first meeting.
Okay, thank you. Is there a second on that?
I'll second.
Okay. I don't know if we need a roll call vote on an adjournment. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Okay, for the second meeting, as far as I can tell, we have no public that have signed in, so there are no public comments. Well, the first item is appointment of library officers. At this point, our officers are President Trigg Mead, Vice President Kathy Ludlam, Secretary Keely Vollmer, and Treasurer Jana Emmons. I guess, is everyone in agreement to keep the officers? And if so, we would take a motion on that.
I'll make that motion.
Okay, is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay. We'll do a roll call vote again. I'm trying to follow the city plan where they go in backwards order. So, Kathy?
Aye.
Rhonda?
Aye.
Chris?
Aye.
Laura?
Aye.
Keely?
Aye.
And Jana?
Aye.
Okay. The second item is committee appointments. And usually our board works as a committee of the whole. In the past, they've only had one committee, which is the Finance Committee. And it had included Jana Emmons, Trigg Mead, Rhonda Vogel, and ex officio was the president, which at that time was Brad O'Brien. Since Trigg replaced Brad as president, I didn't know if the board wanted to make a replacement for Trigg's position as a committee member, if you felt we still had a need to have a finance committee, or if anyone was interested in being in the finance committee. Again, I was hoping for direction on your point on this, because it's really not my decision to make.
Well, I was actually going to recommend that Chris Layton take my spot, because honestly, I just like a deer in the headlights when they start talking about all that stuff. And I know that this is kind of what Chris does. And I think it would be beneficial to have him as part of that.
Okay. Are you still willing to be treasurer, Jana?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Okay. I can sign checks.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, we still then would have, if we consider having a finance committee, then we would still need a replacement for Trigg. Rhonda, are you willing to stay on the finance committee?
Yes.
Okay, so we would have Chris and Rhonda, and then Trigg would be ex officio as president. Usually we have a third person. I don't know if anybody's interested in that, if you want to table this or what your opinions are. For those that are new, occasionally I think this committee met quite a bit when we were dealing with JP Morgan as a trustee for the Ingersoll Trust. Occasionally they've met during budget discussions, sometimes not. It doesn't involve a lot of time, or it hasn't in the past. I don't know how everybody else feels. Chris, I'm assuming you're willing to take Jana's spot. Is that correct?
I'm willing.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Chris. You're the best.
Do we
Seems
have a?
Seems like you have plenty of power on that, counting those three people. So,
okay.
Would you really need another person?
I don't know. It's how it's been in the board bylaws.
Oh. Okay.
So. It's always been the three. We could bring it up next time if you want to keep it at that and change the bylaws. That would have to be voted on at a separate meeting with it being on the agenda. I don't have a problem with that, whatever the board wants to do on this. Do you want to table that, or?
We can table it until Trigby's back, I think, and maybe get his guidance on that.
Okay. I'll mention that on the next agenda too. Maybe we can also have the bylaws so there can be a motion to amend it if we make that change.
So you want it to be a committee of four? Is that what you're saying?
It had always said in the bylaws it was a committee of three, with the president being ex officio. Okay. And when Trigg stepped up to fill in Brad's spot as president, it left a hole. And if we need to just clarify the ex officio part of that, or how we want to word that in the bylaws. I think it just needs to be in agreement with how you want to do it. Just keep in mind too, with the finance committee, if two of you meet on the committee, that that constitutes a majority of a quorum, and it does trigger an open meeting. And that's something, just to backtrack, all of you that were reappointed by the mayor will need to take your Open Meetings Act training again and print a certificate for me. That's something where you need to register before you take the training in order to get a certificate to print, and I do need to keep those on file here at the library. I believe you have 90 days in which to take that. But I will go ahead then, and I'll table this for the committee appointment, and we'll go from there. And then the last thing on this was the Freedom of Information Act policy. This is pretty much standard, what we do every year. The only thing that gets updated is the operating budget amount, the names of the trustees, and the number of staff. And I put it on this just in case we had an officer change. But that's in your packet. This document is our Freedom of Information Act policy. It is also something that is put on the website, and it is automatically out there, but people can ask for further information beyond it. But it sort of sums up the basics if there would be a FOIA request. Does anybody have any comments or questions on the FOIA policy?
Good thing we all have time to spare these days. We can take our tests and study up.
Is there a motion out there to accept the Freedom of Information Act policy?
Make that motion.
I'll second.
Was that Keely? Who said I'll second? Rhonda? Okay, thank you. Sorry, I was writing. Any other discussion? Okay, roll call vote. Jana?
Aye.
Keely?
Aye.
Laura?
Aye.
Chris?
Aye.
Rhonda?
Aye.
And Kathy?
Aye.
Any other comments or questions from anyone?
I want to thank you, Kim, for all you do, because you're working very hard under these crazy times, and I appreciate your reports are great. So,
thank you. Is there a motion to adjourn?
Make that motion.
I'll second that.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay, thank you. And I will be in touch if we get further information from the governor's order. But at this point, we will kind of put that on hold. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Good evening.
Mm-hmm. Stay well, everybody.
Bye.